Good evening. Hope you had a very nice day. The Mishneh Berurah here at the end of this siman brings three very interesting shailas. I assume that the reason why I put it over here is because they're all politically very hot topics and it's got to do with Beis HaKnesses. So the Mishneh Berurah felt like putting it over here towards the end of the siman. The first shaila that he speaks about is a shul that splits. I think I mentioned it the other day. A shul that splits into two halves. Shul that new shul is emerging from the old shul. And one of the people who had donated, say, a Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah for argument's sake, he now moves to the new shul. He's one of the levers. And he says that I very much would like to take my Sefer Torah with. I donated it, but actually, it was nice being here, but now time has come to move into the new shul. I'd like to take my Sefer Torah with. Is he entitled to do so? Yes or no? Question number one. 1B will be the next step, which is that he's nifta already for the last 15 years, is Noelam Emes, but now he's Yoshim. Now the shul is splitting now, and the children say, or the grandchildren said, you know, my Zayda Sefer Torah, which was donated in the 1950s, well, we would like to take it with to the new shul. Are they entitled to do so? Yes or no? So I've got question number one, A and B. Okay, what's your opinions?
It depends if it was donated to the shul or if there was a Sefer Torah which gave as a gift to the shul.
Okay, so it was a genuine donation. If it's very much his still, then he can do whatever he wants. It's a private belonging. You're right. We're referring to something which was a genuine donation to the Beis HaKnesses. He can't, yeah? He can. Why is that? He said that he can, and the Yoshim questionable. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many Sefer Torah the old shul has.
You say that it depends. If there is a substantial, they're secured.
If there's a harem from the Sefer Torah shul, it's different. If it's the own, they're only safe. It's got to be different.
Okay. You're saying that it depends. If they have got Sefer Torah, it's one shaila. If there's no Sefer Torah left, then it's a different shaila. Okay, that's question number one, A and B. Question number two is a person who donated a certain amount of money for the shul to buy the mitzvah of Glila. He gave a generous donation to have the schos of Glila for the entire year, which was the custom in previous generation. You give the schos of Glila for the whole year. Now what happened was, in the meantime, the government expelled the Eden from that, the whole community had to move away. And it was not permanent though, all the Eden had to go, but after a month or two they are back. So the shul was vacated and they were empty for 2 months. Now the Eden are back. And now the shul, who are very financially conscious, they want to sell now all the mitzvahs again. And now they're saying, well, you know, we weren't here for a few months, and now we are bidding again, we are selling again the mitzvahs and Gilead as well. Can he claim the mitzvah back, all because they were expelled and they were out? He lost his chos, or not?
Temporary loss,
so he should get it back. Okay. Third question that we're going to be addressing shortly. What happens if a shul has various, say an Ona Kodesh, say a Peroiches, say a Bima, say any item which belongs to the shul, and he's donating it. But he's making a condition. He's okay, you've come to knock on my door, you want a proper donation, I'm happy to give you the Peroiches, and I'm happy to make it as beautiful as can be. But I'm making one condition, and the condition is that I very humbly would like, my name to be bold and big and very sizable on the Peroiches. And that's, if I humbly can request that condition, then it's fine, I'll give that donation, otherwise not. Can a person request and make a condition that his name is very visible for his donation or not? Can a person make such a condition or not? It seems to be accepted. Making condition, I'm happy to donate, but I want my name to be, that anybody who walks into shul will notice my name.
You see it all the time.
Noel, the truth is, the question I'm asking is not exactly, because there it's often the shul who wants to show Hakazat Toiv to the person, and therefore they are from their own accord, they want to make it very visible. Here, I'm talking about a slightly different child. It's the person who donates it, he wants to make that, he stipulates that condition.
But sometimes the shul ask for donations for a window, and they're happy.
They're happy to do so. Good, okay. Let us address those three shilas. They're all within the Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Nun Tes. The Mishnah Berurah has got another few shilas, but I just prioritize three. I'm going to Sefkot Nun Tes, which is in the page Mem Dalet. I mean, this paragraph for this edition over here, it's over here where I'm pointing now. It's towards the last third of the first paragraph. And it starts with Bnei Ho'ir, people living in the city. I think the line starts with the words Chos, and I'm towards the end of that line. Pnei Ho'ir, people in the city. Shehoyu lahem beis hakneses echad. There was one shul in that city. Umachmas eizes sibah, and for one reason, hutzrichu lachloik atzman lishnayim, they had to divide into two. Sorry, it's on page Mem Dalet. Hutzrichu lachloik atzman lishnayim, they had to split the shul into two. Hadinu, the halacha is shekol klei hakodesh, all the items of the shul, it needs to be divided in the following way. Im yesh chafetzim yeduim, if there is items, specific items. Sheikdisham yochid v'adain lo nishtaka shem habayim. These are the key words. V'adain and still lo nishtaka habayim shem habayim. The name of the owner still is, how would you say it? The name of the owner is still
his possession.
No, it's not his possession. It's not his possession. He's donated it. That's the word. It's associated. It's still, people know that's Yankel Sefer Torah that he had donated. There's still that connection. People still know. There's still that association. It's still that connection that's his Sefer Torah. Then the halacha is Yochel Hu. He can. Oy Yoishav. Or his children. Loilicham lebeis haknesses shemispal besoichod. They can move it. They can move. They're moving Beis Medrash. They're moving shul. They're going to a new place. They can take it with. Why is that? Because the shul. Because the Sefer Torah has still that, it's that families. It's family, whatever they are. It's theirs, Sefer Torah. Yes, it's not theirs halachically anymore. They've donated it. But since, how would you call it? There must be a good way of defining it. It's still association. It's that thing that they've donated it. So therefore, they can move it with them when they move shul.
How do you undonate it?
So
it's been donated to it's given for their use. You can't undonate it. Once it's been donated to the shul, you can't just have, well, how is that possible? Either it's donated or it's not donated.
It's a good question. I will point out a few words in the Mishnah Berurah in the next line, and that's a sort of an answer to your question. He can move it. Or the Yoishim, that means that, going back to the question, is it, what about the children? His children are exactly the same. If the children, if even grandchildren, he'd still refer to Yankel Sefer Torah that was donated in the 1950s. If that's how people still relate to it, then they can move it. If they move to a new shul, they can. Because it's Yankel, it's their family Sefer Torah. It's theirs. But if the name is not, if the name of, it's not associated anymore, it's just a shul Sefer Torah, it's not connected anymore to the donor, then although it may be known, if anybody asks, the Gabba, anybody tries to find out, people still know who donated the Sefer Torah, nevertheless, there's no difference between him and anybody else. So Rabbi Yossi, that's probably the answer to your question. It's not really donated to a shul. What would be the halacha if everybody, if the whole shul moves out of the premises and they go to a new shul? What would be the halacha then? You all agree that it doesn't need to stay in that shul. Why is that? Because the Sefer Torah belongs to a tzibur and not to a Beis HaKnesses. So when you've donated the Sefer Torah, you haven't donated it to the house, to the place, to the shul. You've donated it to the Kehillah, to the community. And now if the community is splitting, so who says they are better than them?
The question is whether it can be taken to a different Kehillah.
So it's not a different Kehillah, the Kehillah is split. You're right. According to what we are saying now, well, with Alocha, if it's a new, he decides one Thursday morning, he decides, you know what, actually I'm fed up of that shul. He's fallen out with the Rav, he's fallen out with you, and he's going to a different shul altogether on the other edge of the city. Then what will be the Alocha then? So I think you're quite right. It would probably be that I wouldn't be entitled to do that. It's only because this Kehillah is splitting, so who says who belongs to? Who's that? So if nobody, so could be that it really belongs to the shul, if nobody associates that Sefer Torah anymore to him and to his family, so it's really the shul, so it should stay the way it is. Who is he to have a right in it? He's donated it, he's been donated. But if it's still that connection to his name and to his family, then he can move it, he can take it along. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's interesting. So it depends how people refer to it. It's a good question. It depends how people refer to it. I know that there's some very, very substantial donations that people always call it that families. I know in Stamford Hill, there's some very big donations, some extremely, very unique Sefer Torah, or very, very special. So even after many years, even after the person is Nifta, but they still refer to it as his. So it's not just trying to find out. If you look, open up an average Ohr HaKodesh in a random shul, and you ask the Mispalim you see six Sefer Torah, or four Sefer Torah in the Ohr, you ask a random Mispalim who donated them, he won't know. He may remember one, the last one, but he's not going to know all four. Is that correct?
You'll see the name on the back.
Yeah, but that's still, people won't associate it as his Sefer Torah anymore. He's true, but without finding out it, but it's not considered that. It's gone a little bit.
Yes,
so that's been discussed, and the halach is yes. That's been discussed. Good, okay, so the next shaila, so that's question number one, A and B is answered. Okay, moving on to question number two. What about if Yidden have to leave the city and they come back? What about the mitzvahs? So I'm now on page Mem Dalet still, on the 1, 2, 3, 4th line. On the left column, and it says over there as follows: Kahal, a community, shebochu meir meizes sibo. They had to leave the city for any reason. Ve'echot mehem, and one of them lokach klar kodesh imoy. Oh, that's actually a different child. Let's skip this one. It's an interesting child, but leave this one. Go a few lines down. A kos of ramam mitshuva simen samach dalet. I'm skipping a few lines. Excuse me. I'm going to the next child, which was the second question. Ve'echot shekana mitzvah leshana, a person who bought a mitzvah for a whole year, kagoyin glila, such as glila. And within that year, the king, doesn't have to be a king, could be the pirates, could be anybody, expelled the Yidden from that particular city. So, in Beshas, a king, Nishmat Varamelech, does he still have the rights for that mitzvah? So it depends. If there was already rumors going on that they may be expelled, then the halacha is, then Afal Pisha, Afal Imbashasa Kidney Nishmat Varamelech, Afal Gav, show you Mishtad Levatel Gzeira, although people Yidden were trying to cancel this Gzeira, Mikomokum Havel Hasnois, Vimlois Natoich Leshalem. It's not his anymore. If it's not his anymore, Figam Behisne bin and Shiasnek Mishbat at night, and Utsnaikod and Lemaisa Chadoime. So he brings Lemaisa Machlokes about this, but it depends a little bit if there was rumors already that they're going to be expelled or not. So if there are rumors, then the halacha is very different. But if there was no rumors, then he won't have to. And now going to the third shaila, which is a fascinating shaila. I'm going towards the end of this over here, towards the end of this column over here, and it is as follows: Hamisnadev is a dovel beis haknesses. Okay, if a person makes a humble condition on the parochas, Hamisnadev is a dovel beis haknesses. A person donates something to the shul, could go in parochas v'tase ikase v'chiyotze bazev, or the crown. Or what else are very expensive items? Okay, and he's making condition that his name has to be on it. V'roitza lichtov shmoy olav. And he's making, he wants his name to be written on it. Ein ha-tzibur yichorim la'akev olav. The community cannot stop him from doing this condition. They cannot stop him. He's allowed to write his name as big as he wants. Shigam ha-toyre koyseves v'fasemes oyse mitzvah. Look what he says. The Mishnah Berurah says, because the Torah also publicizes the people who do the mitzvahs. In the Torah we find so many places that the Torah emphasizes people who did mitzvahs. So no different as well. If Hashem and the Torah publicizes the people who did the mitzvahs, so should we. So should we. And therefore, if a person wants in bold, on the parochas, he wants his name with golden letters, he's entitled to do that. Mihu dafkim nisratzu lekabel nidvoso, aval ein yochel iznadev lichtov shmo olav parakochum shel hatzibur. Now, Mishnah says in Prima Gordim as follows. What happens if the people are completely put off by this individual? He's forever rubbing it in that he's richer than the rest. He's forever rubbing it in. We are fed up of his donations. We don't want his donations anymore. Lo imiduf shech v'lo imukzeich. I don't want, he's given so many times, his name is, he's plastered all over the walls, you have got his name. We don't want his donations anymore. Can the community stop him from donating money? He's plastering his name, all that, it's all over the place. Can they say, okay, that's it, forget it, we don't want your donation? Or maybe, it's a mitzvah, he's got the right of fulfilling that mitzvah. He's got the right, so he can impose on the tzibur a donation. Yeah? What do you say? Yeah?
We don't want any more money.
Sounds. Yeah? Can't?
I can't see them stopping.
Now, the Mishnah Berurah said the name of the Prima Gordim. Ein yochai leis nade velichto. A person cannot force his donation upon a community. He cannot. If it remains confidential, okay, but that person's got an agenda over here. He doesn't want his donation to be a confidential, anonymous donation. He wants his name plastered all over the place. Then they can actually say, okay, that's it, enough already. We know you are wealthier. We got the message. They can put their foot down and say, no, we don't want your donation. They can do so. Okay. Yeah. I suppose it depends.
That Kol Yisrael is about to be exiled, and precisely told how to store his title deeds, and the Mr. Berurah comes along and says, actually, if there's any, not that there's a guarantee that it's actually going to happen, but even if there's just rumors, you lose your. Why would there be any difference in? Not worse than you know. Take money for it, then he's got the right.
I suppose it depends how... Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's definitely something to think about. But I imagine it's got to do with how conscious... No, it's a good question. It's a good question. Something to think about.
Clearly he didn't forget about it, did he?
Yeah.
He came back and
yeah. It's a good question. It's a good question. Something to think about. Yeah, okay. Kostab is Sefer Chassidim. He brings the name of the Sefer Chassidim here. Simon Tov Kuf Gimel. Maise Be'echot Shebono Beis HaKnesses. There was a Yid who built a shul. Now you're going to say it's not very realistic, but that's what happens, if Chassidim says. It was a person who wanted to build a shul, and he donated the whole amount, and he didn't want anybody to chip in. He said, I want to do it myself. Could that happen? He said, I want to do it myself.
Was it, depends if the person who's donated the Shomer Shabbos is what, right?
Okay, well, let's assume he is.
That's separate.
Yeah, yeah, let's assume he is, because if he's not, you're right, it would be problematic. Okay, a person says, I want to build a shul on my own. Nobody, I don't need anybody, I want this to be my shul, and I'm donating the whole thing. Can a person do that? Or maybe people...
He's stopping other people doing this.
Yeah, that's right, he is. He clearly is. So he's entitled to do that or not?
I would say no.
He's not allowed to. You realize what you're saying?
He's stopping other people having the mitzvah as well. So why shouldn't they have the mitzvah?
Good. You're saying that he's not allowed to do the whole thing himself.
Because he's stopping other people.
Stopping other people.
He's not making any conditions.
No, he's saying, I want to do it myself. I don't need anybody else's donations. I want to build a shul. No. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says. Kosa b'seid chasidim. My said story happened. Be'echot with individual shebona beis haknesset built a shul. V'rotzu akol eshtatev imoy. The community wanted to do their part as well. Pemois with financial funding. V'lo erotzu, and he did not want. Kedeshi loy lezaro yishem. He did it because he wanted his family to have the reputation of having donated that. He wanted that honor of having built a shul. The kolo zaroi, because he wanted his children and grandchildren to have that reputation of the reputation of having built that shul and having donated the whole thing. Because of that, he had no children. He didn't have any children. He didn't have grandchildren. He didn't have a schos. He died young, and he didn't have any schos in it. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. The kolo zaroi, right. It reminds me of an interesting Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says that I didn't look it up now, but some of the materials which are used for the Mishkan, the woods, the beams, were specifically not a very strong woods. They were made of woods that tend to not be so lasting. Chofetz Chaim says, why did they not use the Arza Levonon? Why did they not use very strong woods in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, rather. Why didn't they use the best material possible? Why didn't they? So Chofetz Chaim says specifically because it's temporary. It's not right to just build something and you have donated. It's a schus to donate something to the shul. And if it would be just forever, it would be very long lasting, then donation's been made and it lasts forever. But that's not the way it should be, says the Chofetz Chaim. Every now and then, there has to be communal input towards the shul. People have to pay towards the shul. People have to donate something towards the shul from their own pockets. And it has to be there for every now and then. There needs a refurnishment. It needs to be rebuilt. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Okay, we're ready for Simon Kuf Nun Hei. Kuf Nun Hei tells us about, after having discussed the whole of Shachis, which is from Chelek Aleph, we have discussed Kiyashma, we have discussed Shmoyne Esre, we have moved on now to Hilchis Beis Duchening, and then afterwards we learned about Pilchis Beis HaKnesses. So we know all about shuls now. What's happening now? After having daven and discussed the shul, what's the next step? Nearly. We're going to speak about Suda shortly. So the next two simonim is about what happens after davening. What are you going to do straight after davening? Straight after davening, what are you going to do? What's the right thing to do straight after davening?
Learn.
That's right, you're going to learn. So it's going to be learning, and what comes after learning? What do most people do after davening? Before that? Good, yeah, okay. Before that, before eating, I mean most people, good, get to work. Right? So there's going to be a simon now about Leilich Mubeis HaKnes LeBeis HaMedrash. After Simon Kuf Nun Hei tells us what you do after davening, you're going to learn after davening. And after having learned, you're going to go to work. And these are the next two simonim. So Simon Kuf Nun Hei is a fascinating simon which tells us about learning Leilich Mubeis HaKnes LeBeis HaMedrash, that you should go to Beis HaMedrash. And Vlok in Simon Kuf Nun Vav, that's about Seidah Masa Matan, about getting to work. These are the next two simonim. Now the Mishnah Berurah in both simonim discusses very important halachas, which are not only relevant here, but are relevant in a more general area. And especially when it comes to Simon Kuf Nun Vav, many additional halachas are mentioned as well. And after that, after having learned, after having davened and learned and worked, you're going to then be able to eat something. And that's going to be the next simon of Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, which is Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. But just to recap what we covered tonight, before we actually enter those halachas, we learned today the halachas of three interesting Mishnah Berurahs. which discuss a person who, the halacha of a Sefer Torah which was donated, and now the shul splits into two, what happens then? We discussed that it depends if the name is still associated with that Sefer Torah or not. That's the first halacha we discussed, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's him or his Yoshim. We then discussed the halacha of a keli which is nebuch expelled from its place, person did in a dover, if he can still have got chos in it or not, and that we said it depends. Klila or something, it depends as to whether there was rumors about being expelled when he donated the money or whether there was no rumor yet. And the third halacha we discussed in the Mishneh Berurah is about a person who makes a condition about his donation and he wants his name to be boldly presented, then the halacha is that actually a person is allowed to make such a condition. It's perfectly legitimate condition to make because the Torah itself makes publicizes its donors, so similarly also he's allowed to expect his name to be publicized. However, he's not allowed to impose on the shul if they don't wish to accept his donation. He's not allowed to impose that on the community. Finally, we learned that a person who didn't want anybody else to chip in, he just wanted to make the donation all by himself, we learned that's not the right thing to do. You have to allow others to share the mitzvah with you. And we'll be starting Tzimtzum Kuf Nun Hei tomorrow.